On this episode of Industry Relations, Rob and I talk about CoStar's recent acquisition and the bromance between Zillow and Realtor.com. Let's go.
This is Industry Relations, a podcast that's at the intersection of real estate and technology from an insider's perspective with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Industry Relations with Rob and Greg. This is your co-host, the notorious Rob. As always, the fabulous Greg Robertson, everybody.
Hola, Rob.
Hola. You know, today, though, you have the giant microphone thing in front of your face. Let's see that.
I don't know how the hell.
But that's why you couldn't whip off your glasses.
Yeah, well, I got the headset is really what it does it for me. But yeah, I'm actually in the process of moving things. I've got a new kind of layout, and that'll be maybe debuting next week. We'll see what happens.
You should build a studio, and I should fly out to Southern California to go.
Oh yeah,
in your studio, you know, like a Joe Rogan style. You know.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Hey. Are you attending any of the, because there's like a T3 going on, and wasn't there Gathering of Eagles that are going on in Vegas right now?
Not in Vegas. I think Gathering of Eagles
Scottsdale.
In Scottsdale, yeah. T3 is in,
I think Scottsdale also. Okay. Never mind. I was getting Scottsdale confused with Vegas, so.
Yeah. I mean, Scottsdale's a nice town, but it ain't Vegas.
Yeah, you know. That's true.
There's no Fallout New Scottsdale, you know. I have to mention that because Meredith, our producer, and I were just talking about the Fallout thing that I just finished watching on Amazon and, you know, Vegas.
That's based on a game, right? I think my son used to play that game.
Yeah, I never played that game, so I feel like I missed most of the references in the,
Amazon
series. It was all right. You know, like I said, I probably missed a lot of stuff, you know, because I just didn't know why is this, you know, it's kind of like the first time Sonny watched Dune. She's like,
right? Yeah, what
this
the
is
hell?
Not a good movie. Yeah. And I'm like, it's a great movie.
You got to read the book.
I was like, oh yeah, that's right. You never read the book, so you have no idea who these people are, and you know why this is interesting.
You know, the last thing you kind of told me to watch, or I don't even think you told me, is like you were talking about how much you liked it, and I actually watched it was Wagwan.
The Best Boy.
Best Boy.
Yeah.
Was it Best Boy? Yeah, it might have been Best Boy.
Yeah, the UK series about the
UK series of the Jamaican drug dealers. Oh my God, so good, dude.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, and I just love that. I love the dialect of that, like, Wagwan, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be easy. Say less.
Say less, fam.
That's right.
I would love to learn that. Like, we should try to do a whole episode using nothing but British street slang.
Oh, totally. I would love that. Yeah. I love
But today is
like
not
that
day. I can't think of a transition from talking about Jamaican UK drug dealers to the news of the day. So I'm just going to let you tell us about the news of the day. And
we were going to start with, I guess a little follow-up, right?
In a sense, right?
Again, another kind of, I think, accolade, maybe. I don't know what I would call it here, but, today CoStar announced that they are going to be buying Matterport, right? Or Matterport? What is it?
I think it's Matterport.
Okay, Matterport. So, and I think it's $1.6 billion or something like that. And this, again, is interesting because you and I on our November 17th podcast in 2022, had proposed, wanted to have some sort of like, us come up with like, what would be monumental acquisitions that CoStar could make to make a big difference. You famously said on that same episode that Realtor.com, that CoStar should buy Realtor.com. And what ended up happening is, they did not buy Realtor.com, but they did explore it, and
that's right.
Bold prediction, and it actually came true. Now it seems like that they've gone back to that well again. Andy's gone back to our podcast and wanted to understand what Rob and Greg said. What should I do as a corporate executive of a big firm? Who's got some ideas out there? And they went back. He didn't have to go far because he went back to that same podcast episode where, at the end of it, I proposed that, and I thought Clear Capital had bought Matterport, right? Somebody, Matterport. Yeah. But yeah. It wasn't that. They bought I think VHT or something else. Or
no, Clear Capital bought a floor plan company.
Kubikasa. That's right.
Kubikasa. Yeah.
So, but at the end, we kind of crystallized it in that CoStar should buy Matterport because of the they'll have a proprietary technology. They'll have all. They'd also, I think, Matterport had bought another kind of VHT studios. I think, which was in a lawsuit before with Zillow.
That's right.
And lo and behold, today it was announced that CoStar indeed listened to Rob and Greg and did the right thing and bought Matterport. So this is another kind of, I think, feather in our cap. And you know, that's where all the smart people come to is the Interest Relations Podcast.
So listen, if you have a company that would like that you would like to see acquired by CoStar, maybe think about sponsoring Interest Relations. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah, if you want us to drop you a line here,
that's right.
Just, you know, just to get bought by CoStar, we'll include it here and also in the show notes. So you'll have that.
Okay, more seriously, I do think it's interesting. And I it wasn't shocking, right?
Well, of course not. We predicted it.
Right.
Right. So it can't be shocking to us.
Right. But now this is like yet another chapter, right? So I can't remember the episode where we talked about it. We did talk about the importance of photography.
Yeah.
For Zillow and CoStar and their war against each other.
Yeah.
And we did touch upon like how the MLSs just don't understand photography, you know, et cetera. But this is becoming a thing. Okay. This move by CoStar is the next salvo, right? Because I think the way, if I remember correctly, it was like CoStar went and hired like 16,000 photographers and local contractors, you know, that currently are doing things like neighborhood info, drone shots, neighborhood photography, things like that, right? Zillow answered back by buying. I can never remember the name of the photography company they bought.
It starts with an M, and I know the guy over there, Michael. I mean, damn it. Yeah.
But, right? And so Zillow then goes and buys this like large company that has a network of real estate photographers, et cetera. And they made that part of the Showtime Plus, you know, a suite. So here we go. CoStar now acquires Matterport, who I would assume has all of those 3D tours, right? And I would assume, I don't know, I would assume because I haven't read the Matterport user, you know, agreement or anything like that, that Matterport likely owns all of the Matterport 3D scans, right? And of course, the Matterport also owns VHT, which is one of the largest photography networks out there. So this is the salvo back. Zillow will now have to answer this in some fashion.
Yeah, because they bought the VRX, which was like the network of photographers. They bought another company out of Minnesota, I think they were. But they had software that like, you know, manages almost like a showing service for photographers or something. God, what is the name of that?
I don't know. But we know that this is the next big battleground. And I don't know what's left, I guess is the thing, right?
Right.
Well, like, who does Zillow go after now to answer this?
Yeah. So to me, there was a thing where Zillow recently did a press release about how showcased listings were perform better.
Yep.
When you're on the site there. So they were obviously seeing, they're measuring some results there and seeing some good results in an effort kind of probably to sell more of those showcase listings or
of course.
I forget what they called it. I think it was showcase listings.
It is showcase,
So it's not, it was not curb appeal, it's screen appeal, I think was the clever kind of thing about that, right? So, okay. So let's pull the string here. So, you know, CoStar announces that we're not selling buyer leads. We're going to be selling services to sellers. Mm-hmm. And even before they really actually had that, Zillow announced that they had their own showcase listing. I think they even launched their showcase listings before CoStar did, right? Because that service was way ahead of the Super Bowl ads, right?
Yeah, so, but they're totally different, right? They're totally different. Showcase listings on Zillow is not the same as like promoted listings on CoStar. Right? Like showcase listings in Zillow means like you can change the order of photographs and serve up photos that are most likely to attract a buyer based on AI and big whatever, you know, whatever cool tech Zillow has. they're not really the same thing, but obviously you could see how that might lay the groundwork for a future seller product.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not the same thing, but they're in the same neighborhood, right?
Same universe, you know.
Yeah,
they're playing the same game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
maybe not in the same ballpark, but they're both playing baseball. You know.
Right. Okay. So they're matching each other on that. Zillow is doing a tremendous job, CoStar is doing a tremendous job of increasing their traffic, and they're doing that by paying a lot of money for advertising, right? So they need to catch up with the traffic for Zillow. And again, I can never get this right because I see some similar web stats that show homes.com not quite overtaking realtor.com.
Right.
But then homes.com is promoting that they're a half million visitors over monthly. Right. Then, so I don't know what, if they're, somebody told me that in the stats that homes.com is using, they're including their apartments.com traffic.
Oh, who knows?
But you know, it's a little weird. They're playing there's some games being played, and I'm not just saying CoStar is playing games. I mean, maybe realtor.com, the way they promote traffic, is playing some games, but there's something there. Right. So they have that. What else is left that a portal can do to differentiate itself from other portals, right? I mean, they've got the neighborhood info. They're doing drone shots of neighborhoods. They're adding local content. Obviously, this photography and this.
Yep.
I mean, Zillow thinks they have some great 3D tech that now CoStar is buying basically the leader, the inventor of it, with the Matterport stuff.
Right.
So what other significant acquisitions do you think they're going to make to change the game here, right?
I don't know. Otherwise,
they're just going to spend more and more money on advertising to kind of to beat Zillow, so to speak.
You know, like, so again, we're just theoretically, like, just throwing things out there. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Zillow were to answer this by acquiring someone like, say, Box Brownie.
Right.
Like one of these, like, virtual staging companies that have taken over, you know, taken the industry by storm. I don't want to say taken over because that's unique content. Because to me, the whole photography war came down to you need to own whatever is copyrightable. Right.
Right.
And CoStar is the master at that.
Like, yeah.
If you go to, like, they the commercial side
images,
of the house,
right? Yeah.
They own all the images and they won several big time battles with other commercial exchanges, right? By copyright, like, these photographs are copyrighted, we own them. And we found them on your website without our permission, copyright violation, $300 million, plus criminal charges and all kinds of stuff that was in the past. I assume that's going to be the play in residential as well. Acquisition of Matterport, I imagine, gives them copyright ownership over all of the 3D scans that Matterport did. Zillow, for its part, from what I remember, they developed technology a few years ago that they were really excited about. They're saying it basically replicates Matterport without having to buy the, you know, $3,000 Matterport camera. Like, you could do it using your iPhone. You know, I remember that being like a big selling point.
Yeah, I haven't compared a Matterport 3D to a Zillow. I'll have to add that to my list to see if that claim is true.
But sure.
I know the Matterport stuff is, you know, the dollhouse view, and then you go in there. It's really, really, really great. So, I'll have to kind of confirm that.
Yep. Now, here's the funny thing. You know who should worry, actually, with this acquisition? Is Redfin. Because if you remember, this is years ago now, 6-7 years ago maybe, Redfin made this huge announcement that they were partnering with Matterport, where every Redfin listing would have the Matterport 3D walkthrough.
Oh, wild. Okay.
Okay. Again, we don't know, but if Matterport owns the copyright to all of those scans, then Redfin actually can't have any of that on its website once the property is sold.
Right.
So I don't know if, you know, they're thinking about that, but hey, Glenn, if you're watching or listening to us, you might want to go talk to your people just to see what the status of your Matterport 3D scans or 3D photos, 3D movies are in terms of copyright ownership.
Yeah.
Because
what yeah. I love about this is this ties into another industry story with Jeff Allen, and we just talked about Kubikasa. Yeah. He's the president of that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a big fan of floor plans as just a rule. I mean, just man, if every listing had a floor plan, that would be nirvana to me. It's just when you look at that, you just get such a better. Even to me, more than a virtual tour, when I see floor plans laid out, now I understand the flow of the house, where things are situated, everything else, right? And they just announced that they had like 15% of the listings now. Mm-hmm. And I think Jeff's whole thing was like, if there's going to be a tipping point, right? Where I don't know if it's 20%, 30% or whatever, but it's also kind of like, now he didn't say this directly, but to me, those guys have this kind of Elon Musk approach where, you know, if he can get other, like Elon has always said, I think, if I can get other car manufacturers to make clean vehicles, then that's promoting his mission mm-hmm. of reducing emissions for the planet, right? He thinks on a planet level. So yeah, Tesla's, he could argue that the only reason it's there, and maybe he's changed this, is to get everybody there. But he has to be the one doing that. Kubikasa to me is on the same thing. They're trying to get floor plans for they're owned by Clear Capital for, you know, of course the appraisal world. But it's also these other portal wars are driving virtual tours and as a subset of that floor plans. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for it. Anything that gets, you know, floor plans out on every listing that we get, I think is going to be a good thing. So this is exactly the thing we talk about with business and competition. You know, competition forces everybody to get better, right? So I think, you know, all these things are just upping the ante and consumers are the ones going to benefit. So I think that's a good thing.
Although we are getting kind of close, I think, in real estate to the competition thing being less, right? Because like the price of entry now is too high to compete in the portal wars.
Right? Yeah.
So we're really down to three, maybe four, right? Like, I mean, I know there are other quote portals out there like Movoto, right?
Yeah.
And we never think about like Movoto's competing against Zillow and CoStar with their new offering. Like we just don't hear that, see that, because I feel like the price of entry has gone too high.
Well, I mean, you could also, if you want to count that, you could also count like companies like CoreLogic and their client portal stuff. I mean, I've heard through Grapevine that if you stack their number of visitors to their client portals, you add all that up, it's, you know, it's close to like a Realtor.com.
Right. Which was like the whole business plan for BPP. I'm like, that's at cool and all, was, but you know, I don't know how you monetize it. But in any event, like, I'm just getting that like, I don't know, you know, like competition is good. Right. And I'm glad to see CoStar and Zillow competing fiercely. I'm sure Redfin's in the mix. I'm sure Realtor.com's thinking about it as well. Like, cool. Competition is great because not only is it beneficial to consumers and agents and brokers, like it just kind of ups the game for everybody, right? Like in a way, I feel like Zillow has been stagnant for a couple of years after they took out Trulia. They didn't really have any competitors. So CoStar's entry, I feel like re-energizes Zillow's organization. Like, oh, you know, now we got to come up with something, you know? So I think that part's good.
Yeah, right. That's a good segue into the next story we wanted to talk about, right?
Sure. Where,
as I like to say, strange bedfellows, or the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Am I quoting that right?
That's right.
So another thing that was announced was that, not announced, but Damian Eales, the new president of or CEO of Realtor.com, he's an Australian guy. I saw him speak at the CoreLogic event. A while back, and he was great. You know, he talked about, you know, Realtor.com being the industry, you know, friendly portal, which was very interesting to me. And the challenges they had with the data licensing and what they're restricted to do, what they can do, you know, via the operating agreement, and how he's going to look to kind of change those things up. And I think they did a deal. Are they getting rentals from Zillow now, I think? I think they're getting some sort of like rentals now on the site via partnership with
They've
one of
always had that through a partnership with a company called BDX.
Okay, well, something is happening, right? BDX, isn't that builder stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, this is rentals.
Oh, rentals. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, he wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. Now, that makes sense because News Corp owns Realtor.com or Move. And of course, they've been getting a lot of shit. You know, CoStar had a thing where their person of the week was Ketchmark and caught tons of shit where, you know, the Wall Street Journal has been printing all this awful stuff about how agents shouldn't be paid and blah, blah, blah. Well, finally, Damian had an op-ed piece about, you know, what are we paying buyer's agents for, right? And you can go read the article on Wall Street Journal. I wrote about it and have a link on Vendor Alley about it. But, you know, basically arguing, what's going to happen is, yes, commissions may come down, but buyer's agency is a good thing. And let me tell you why, right?
Right.
So he went out and laid out pretty, you know, I think he did a good job of that. And then that's not the big news here, right? And I think Brian Pereira would put a tweet there and said, well played, Realtor.com. We're all played, right?
Yeah.
But then I think it was Rich Barton, CEO of Zillow, on his LinkedIn feed, wrote a small post praising what Damian, a competitor of Zillow, had to say about buyer's agency and how Zillow had done their own kind of thing about, you know, turning the lights on and some other things about why buyer's agency is a good thing. But to me, it just rang a little bit, because, you know, you got two companies who make money off of selling buyer leads to agents who are praising buyer agency. Right. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Okay. What else are you going to say here? But I just thought that was kind of funny.
The thing is, like, and the thing I wanted to chat about here is this directly related to a post I wrote recently, you know, which is, I don't think anyone was saying that buyer agency sucks, right? Like, no one was saying that there was a problem with buyer agency. And this was after I went
push back on that a little bit. It's like, in other countries, you don't even have a buyer agent.
Yeah, but even with all that, like, it said other countries, buyer agency is not, you know, not common or whatever, but it's not illegal. Like, you could be in Australia, if you want to hire a buyer agent, you can, right? If you're in the UK, and in fact, I took a lot of investor calls, and I did talk to a couple of UK hedge fund managers who mentioned that they have buyer agency in the UK. It's just not used, right? It's only, like, used by very wealthy people who are looking for a very specific type of thing. Look, I'm only looking for Scottish castles, you know, find me one of those, you know, like, so it's very, very rare, but it does exist, right? So, and I mentioned this in the aftermath of the panel that I went to at the University of Minnesota Law School. And I'm like sitting there, I'm listening to all these people who criticize, you know, NAR, criticize the compensation, all of it. And literally every single person is like, buyer agency is not the problem, right? Like, we know that good buyer agents add a lot of value. They should get paid, you know. So that's never been the issue. The issue is, for them anyway, the compensation scheme, like how buyer agents get paid, right?
Right.
So,
or just the you know, the disclosure, the transparency of how it's paid, right? Yeah.
Sure. Or, you know, the whole, like, seller's going to pay, and then the, you know, the split in the commissions. Like, they had a problem with that.
Yeah.
But no one's really had a problem with buyer agency. And and it's one of the things I put out. It's like, hey, man, I've always used a buyer agent in all my personal transactions over the years. And I've never had a problem with it because those buyer agents actually did add a lot of value because I use great buyer agents. And I'm like, I'm in the industry. I know what to look for. And they actually did add a lot of value, right? Because, as I like to say, they know which side of the street floods when it rains. You know, they know things that you're not going to find on Google. They know things you're not going to find on Zillow. You know, it's not just data. It's not just, here's the number of bedrooms and bathrooms. Like, I could find that out myself. You know, here are the photos. Like, I could find that.
Yeah. What I think is interesting about this is that I think where he was writing from was almost reactionary because, and as we've talked about this on the podcast for a long time now, the way that this information got out to the general public, right, without really a counter move from NAR or some organized real estate entity, was, you don't have to pay commissions anymore. right? So,
right, right.
Oh, you know, now you don't have to pay your buyer, you know, you don't have to pay your buyers, your agent a commission anymore for finding you a house. That's right. How the message got out there.
Right.
You're not required to do that anymore. Right. So
the 6% commission is dead.
It's dead. Like you don't have to pay buyer, you know. So he's coming from, and I think we're in this reactionary mode. We have to go, well, first of all, let me explain to you what fucking buyer's agency is. And it's because they didn't, you know, it was so convoluted by the system, as you were saying, and it wasn't really transparent and it was opaque and everything else, that we have to go back now to the beginning to tell them what actually buyer's agency is and why it's a good thing, right? Because we've just so messed up the messaging about, you know, how this whole NAR settlement thing went out. That to me is like a more the kind of issue here than whether or not buyer's agency is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't even know if people really appreciated it because they just thought it was roped into everything. And now that we have to separate it, they have to now define what it is because they did such a good job of like making it so part of, you know, of like, oh, it's nothing. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Just pay the money, right?
Sure. But I guess the thing that I find interesting about it is, but like, could you on your vendor alley poster you mentioned, you linked to Zillow, Rich Barton from Zillow, his LinkedIn post.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting is the comments, right? And the comments are from big industry heavyweights, you know, people like Victor Lund and Sam DeBord and, you know, David Gibbons and others, like Mitch Robinson, you know, just like, kudos, Rich, like, this is great, right? On the side of angels, like, this is fantastic. And I'm kind of like, look, I think since the NAR settlement, and to your point, the settlement, the way that it was announced, the way that it went out in the media was kind of like death to the 6%. And, you know, and there's been this like a bit of a us against them setup. So it almost feels like the battle lines, the ways they're being drawn is people who are anti-agent and people who are pro-agent.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the wrong analysis. It's the wrong framing completely, right? Because really what it is good agents versus bad agents.
Right.
That's the piece I feel like is getting lost in all this. That's kind of one of my posts is about. Nobody thinks that good agents should not get paid. Everybody agrees good agents should get paid. And everyone further agrees good agents will get paid no matter what the compensation scheme, right?
Right.
Like, even if, like, I don't know, the DOJ came out and just literally completely banned any kind of paying of buyer agents, any kind of seller concessions, like, let's say they just banned that. No more concessions. You just cannot pay them at all. You know what? Great buyer agents are still going to get paid.
Right.
Buyers will find a way to pay those great buyer agents. So the problem is...
Or sellers, yeah.
Or sellers, whoever. Somebody's going to figure out how to get the buyer agents paid when they're really great, they're adding value. So like that's... I do find the narrative that we have going on right now a little bit unfortunate, right? So... Because it does come down to like you're either pro-agent or anti-agent. I'm like, no, that's not it, right? It's actually good agents versus bad agents. But we don't want to have that conversation, right? Because that's one of the big taboo subjects, right, in our industry. You know, it's like, but there are a whole lot of agents who just really suck and should not be in the business. Like then it's like a raise the bar conversation. Then it's like this whole thing about licensing and realtor status and all this stuff. And I'm like, but we should be having that. It's like we've been having that conversation for 20 years or longer, right? Way longer, actually. It's like I did the whole William North series on my blog showing that this is going on from like the 60s and 70s. And like, okay, and here we are, right? So that's what I want to bring up with us. Like, yeah, okay, it's good that Rich Barton thinks, you know, what is it? I'm going to read it. Three key points that consumers have: free and fair access to all listings. Okay. Independent representation. Okay. And transparent negotiable compensation for agents. Okay. Right. And I think what he would say, I don't know, like, hey, Rich, like, you want to illuminate? I think Rich would agree that bad buyer agents probably shouldn't get paid. I think he would agree that bad buyer agents probably shouldn't be in the business. I think Damian Reels would probably also agree, hey, if you're bad, you shouldn't be in the business. Like, this is too important,
right,
too big a purchase. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're lazy, if, you know, all those things, if you're unethical, you should not be in the business. And I think everybody would agree with that. But yet we're going to turn this into a us versus them, pro-agent, anti-agent, pro-industry, anti-industry. It's not really like that, right? And maybe that's the conversation that needs to happen.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and but nobody wants to have that conversation, as you said, right? I mean,
other than us. Other than weirdos, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, here's I think this is where the next battleground of that conversation will be. And it's going to sneak up on us. It's going to be in these buy rip agreements.
Hmm.
Right? The ones that currently exist, the ones that are being pushed. Some of them are really bad. Some of them are horrible. Right? And as long as we're going to take this, like, you're either like for us or against us, right? You're either for agents or against agents. We're not going to examine some of those issues. Right? Because some of those issues do things like lock in buyers to whatever, it's 180 days of, if you buy any property within city limits during those 180 days, you owe a commission to the buyer agent that you signed this with. My take on it is a great buyer agent who's actually adding value would never insist on that term.
Yeah, but I'm sure even great buyer agents have a story where they spent 7 weekends with a couple.
Sure.
And that couple still went to somebody else, right?
I mean,
it goes with the, I mean, that's the job, right? Unfortunately, but I mean.
I'm saying the great buyer agents would not insist on this lock-in clause because they know, like, yeah, it could happen, but you know what? I have 30 other clients.
Right.
Right. And, you know, the great ones, they're actually not going to spend 7 weekends with a couple. Because they'll be able to figure out, are you serious? Like, are you really in the market? Or are you just kind of fucking around and kicking the tires?
Yeah, man. I don't know. Buyers are liars, as they say.
I understand. No, of course. Of course. I'm just like, I've spoken to a lot of the top agents over the years. And I do think top agents, they're not worried about that one buyer. You know?
Right.
They're just not. At the same time, let's face it, most top agents are not going to work with random buyers off the street. Right? If they're going to represent you as a buyer, they probably have an existing relationship with you, right? That goes back a few years.
Yeah,
like maybe
you bought the
house. Maybe you sold the house and, you know, with them.
Referrals and, or something, you know,
something,
come up to.
You know, where they know, like, oh, these are serious people. They're seriously in the market. Let me help them. And those buyers are going to be like, oh, this is a top agent. It's a great agent. I'm not going to disrespect her. You know, it's going to be one of those. Are there exceptions? Of course. I'm just pointing out that the next battleground of this issue is going to be around, like, the buyer rep agreements. And my fear is that the way that we're going to have that debate is a narrative of us versus them, like pro-industry, anti-industry, pro-agent, anti-agent. And it's like, no, actually, it's not that. It's pro-great agents versus anti-great agents.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's going to reflect the buyer rep agreement.
Yeah, I think, you know, that friction that they're going to have now of signing an agreement and the disclosure of compensation in that agreement,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's more powerful than what we think it is, because, and this is why bad agents should be fearful, right? Because in the past, they didn't really, you know, they were guaranteed to get a cut, right? If something happened, right? So now it's like, you got to, like, prove enough to say, choose me and I'm worth this, right? And if the great agents are out there and they do a job, they do a good job of demonstrably showing their value, while the other agents, well, I never had to do this before. I mean, I just, you know, the MLS takes care of my percentages. Well, why am I charging that much? Well, that's what we normally charge,
right?
If they're left and not going to be able to answer those questions, because, As Damien is saying, people are going to be more aware of this stuff, and they're going to have to be told why. Why do I have to pay you? What's going on here?
Right.
That's all a communication issue. That's all. They're And the great ones will be able to answer that questions. The ones that are not great are not going to be able to answer those questions and probably lose out of business.
I mean, one can only hope, right? Because, you know, what? So over 10 years now, I've said, like, yeah. It is a moral imperative for good agents to take market share from bad ones. Right? Because that's, to me, like, I actually feel like most of our problems in the industry goes away. They completely go away if we eliminate most of the crappy agents out there. Right? I mean, fact of the matter is, I do believe this. I do think there are too many treasure hunters in our industry.
Right. Lottery ticket holders, correct. Or lottery where, ticket players, correct. Really.
Where they're not, yeah. They don't really care that much about, you know, houses. Like, there are people who genuinely love houses. My wife is one of them because she's a real estate broker. Like, we'll look at houses. She'll be like, oh my God, the architecture and whatever. You know, like, there are people who genuinely
Helping people find a home. I mean, there's generally people who love doing that.
Right. There's a second group who just genuinely love helping other people. Cool, right? And then those people are going to, like, figure out, like, learn about architecture, learn about housing, learn about zoning laws, learn about whatever, what side of the street floods when it rains, because they genuinely. And then let's face it, man, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who's like, I'm going to get my real estate license because I hear you can make a fortune.
Posers, yeah.
Tourists. They're just in it for that money, right? Yeah. And like, yeah, maybe, I mean, we need to have that conversation. Like, maybe this industry can't be about that. Right.
Yeah,
not what we are expecting, this like level of service and care for the customer. Like, I don't know. I do hope that that is the conversation we have going forward. Right. So, because yeah, that's like I said. Like, I sometimes on Twitter and shit, I'll find these people like, "Well, Rob hates agents." I'm like, okay, like, motherfucker, I'm married to one, but sure, I hate agents. Like, okay. But it's this, like, them versus us. Like, if you don't agree with us that you should have this clause that locks people in for 180 days and you hate agents. I'm like, no, I hate agents who have to lock people in for 180 days. How about that?
Yeah.
Right? Because the good ones don't have to lock anybody in, and their clients are happy. And the clients are the ones who are like, boy, yeah, my agent really worked hard with me to get me this house. How can we figure something out here to make sure she gets paid? Right? I mean, I saw this Reddit thread where a buyer was actually saying, like, I don't think this deal is going to happen, right, because of whatever, right, you know, the issue with the property or financing or whatever. It's like, I feel so bad because my agent worked so hard for me. Can I tip her?
Wow.
Can I give my agent a tip? Or is that weird? I'm like, yes. That's how buyers are with great agents, right?
Right.
The ones who are bitching, my agent never calls me. They never did anything. They didn't work hard. I think they're scamming me. Like, they're not working with great buyer agents. They're working with the treasure hunters. So we just need to figure something out there, right? So I don't know. I don't know where that leaves us. And that's kind of a long way from CoStar buying Matterport, which sort of began the show. But yeah, I do think that would be, I don't know, maybe we need to have a whole another conversation, another show episode just talking about that. Right?
You know, if that friction of a buyer agreement forces bad agents out of the thing, well then, you know, that's going to be in itself a huge win for everybody, consumers and the organized real estate as it is, right? So, so we'll have to kind of check and see, right? As we talked about in the last podcast, we're all pontificating. We're all predicting, even though we're really good predictors.
We are.
Bob, you and I. But it has not shipped, right? We have not. We don't know if the dogs are going to eat this or not, right? So we have to put it out there and see how the consumers react to all this stuff and see what new problems and issues are going to come up. How big of a problem is it that after they've been force fed this, like, you don't have to pay commissions anymore, and when that timeline, you know, turns over July 25th or the end of the year, whenever it happens, how consumers are going to behave and how we can make adjustments to that behavior. Yeah. How do we iterate what's going on here?
Let's hope. And you know what? Here's my genuine hope. I genuinely hope that next episode that we do will have nothing to do with commissions or compensation. That maybe we'll just talk about, like, websites and prop tech companies, you know, acquisitions. Okay. And if not, we're going to have to talk about Dune or something. Favorite sci-fi movies.
Well, next episode would be the episode that would be, I think, pre-mid-year.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we might have to push the other Dune episode off one. Or maybe not. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I mean, mid-year, like, I'm not going. Are you going?
Yes, I'm going.
Okay. Well, then I definitely want a post-mid-year report.
Well, I'm going to be in my suite talking to a lot of MLSs or at the lobby bar.
Yep, talking to a lot of MLSs.
Or a steak restaurant, so a steakhouse. So anything I hear from those three places, I will absolutely love to give you a feedback on.
Perfect. So we will have that episode coming up, I guess the next one.
Yeah.
So let's keep it there. And thanks to everyone for listening. Always appreciate you. And I think, like we said, I think we're very close to hitting our subscribers
on YouTube. I did a push. We're now at 946. So great. We really are super close.
We need 54. Come
54
on.
People come on. And boom, we're come into the money zone.
And subscribe. We'd appreciate that. And in addition, I think it's if you have any questions for us or topics, you know where to find us. We'd love to hear from you.
Write in the comments.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Ciao.
Listen, content is everything. Two Brothers Creative makes it look easy. Right now, business owners really only have two options. The first option is hire a big firm. Now, this big firm's going to come in, make you think that they invented all the algorithms, and start charging you thousands of dollars every month. You don't want to do that. Second option is to do it yourself. Well, that means you got to learn SEO, SEM, copywriting, marketing techniques on the web. Ugh, you should be really focusing on your own product. But now there's a third option. It's called Content in a Box. Give Two Brothers Creative 30 minutes a week and they'll handle everything. Plus, they'll show you how to bring it in-house later on. They'll rebuild your marketing foundation and give you tools and techniques and a new marketing playbook that'll actually produce real results and help you grow your business. Two Brothers Creative will give you the confidence and know-how to tell the SEOs and SEMs and all those other acronyms to get fucked. You're in control now. Get started today at thecontentbox.com.